Some details about all those budget compromises that almost shut the government down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama tomorrow will outline his vision of federal budgets to come. That vision will reportedly include tax increases for the wealthiest Americans. The Republican plan, unveiled last week by House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan, doesn't bring in any more tax revenue, and in fact, Ryan's plan would make the Bush tax cuts permanent. The proposal also reduces corporate tax rates. Now, in the budget battle of last week, the bickering was about spending cuts to social programs, and now we're finding out some of the details of the showdown that averted a government shutdown. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us from our New York studio with a glimpse of all that. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So what's on the chopping block here?
Well, it's a little complicated because the cuts were made in so many different ways. And as you said, we're still getting the details. But some people are going to lose their jobs. You know how the White House hires those so-called czars to oversee particular policy areas.
Right.
The positions responsible for healthcare, climate change, autos, and urban affairs are all going to be eliminated. In some cases, programs will lose money but not be dissolved entirely. In that category, a program that helps the national parks buy land will lose $30 million. And then there are some cuts which are essentially paper cuts because they get rid of projects that are already dead. For example, there was about $3 billion that members of Congress had allocated to local transportation projects, but that was never actually spent.
So, all right, what gets to stay then?
Well, as we were just talking about, some of this is a matter of perspective, but Pell Grants, that is college money for low-income students, were one of the things Democrats were worried would get cut. They've actually survived. Planned Parenthood gets to keep some money. The EPA's budget is being cut, but by less than had been proposed. Ditto for the National Institutes of Health. And one that we've been following closely here at Public Radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will keep its funding.
We were certainly keeping an eye on that. All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth from New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are lower right now, about 1%, maybe a little bit more. The Dow is down 124 points at 12,256. Global markets were lower today. Shares in Europe and Asia lost an average of about 1.5%. The U.S. sold fewer items overseas, but the government said the nation's trade deficit narrowed in February anyway. That's because oil imports were down for the month. Wheat futures are again at near $8 a bushel, I should say, because of dry weather in the lower plains and flooding in the Dakotas, preventing farmers from planting any wheat in this year's crop. The latest survey about student loan debt shows owing money to banks for college now outpaces owing money to banks for credit cards. It's the first time that that's ever happened. Mark Kantrowitz ran the student loan numbers. He publishes the websites finaid.org and fastweb.com, and he's with us now from just outside of Pittsburgh. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What is the takeaway from this survey about college debt?
Student loan debt is increasing faster than credit card debt, so it's now a macroeconomic factor, not just a microeconomic factor. It's having a significant potential impact on the economy. And a key concern of mine is that more students each year graduate with excessive debt, more debt than they can reasonably afford to repay.
Does this mean we're raising another generation of people taking on high debt?
A key problem is that student loan debt tends to be repaid over a 20-year term now, which means more and more students are going to still be repaying their own student loans when their children enroll in college. And that may make those families less willing to borrow to pay for their children's educations. It also means that they aren't going to be as capable of saving for their children's education or even for their own retirement.
What do these numbers say about how these grads will be affected after they're done with school in the job market?
It means delaying life cycle choices like getting married, buying a home, buying a car. It means that there's going to be more focus on earning a good salary, so they are less likely to pursue their particular dreams. The more debt you have, you're going to be more focused on the job that pays better and less on the job that's going to be most satisfying to you.
Mark Kantrowitz of fastweb.com and finaid.org, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit JaguarUSA.com.
The man who directed all those Godfather movies just made someone an offer he couldn't refuse. Francis Ford Coppola hired one of the world's leading wine experts and will move him from France to Coppola's vineyard in California. From the European Desk in London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The champagne corks are popping on the Coppola estate in the Napa Valley. The wine-loving director has just recruited a leading French wine manager. He plucked him from the prestigious Chateau Margaux vineyard in France. Coppola's on a mission to restore his once famous Inglenook vineyard to its former glory. Jancis Robinson of the Financial Times.
There's no doubt it's a vineyard with massive potential.
But she has her doubts that a French wine manager will transplant easily to the Napa Valley.
The weather is going to be so different. The soils will be different. So he will have a very steep learning curve.
Not least when it comes to communication. The French wine manager doesn't speak English, but the movie director is unabashed. Coppola says, "I like a man of few words." In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, at Chicago's Little Village Academy, kids cannot brown bag it at lunch anymore. The school's principal says the lunchroom provides healthier food. She says most of the time students just bring junk food from home anyway. But some parents are outraged. They say nutritionists don't exactly give public school lunches the healthiest seal of approval. I mean, what's the nutritional value of a sloppy Joe anyway? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio and online at Marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There have been farm subsidies in Europe since the Second World War ended. The fighting over them, though? That's just beginning.
They don't realize that a lot of the money is going to people who are really wealthy, wealthier than them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the politics of European economics and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.